I welcome you to this service of worship and prayer and meditation this Good Friday. I want to call your attention to just one announcement before we begin. We are going to be standing for the call to worship and the first hymn, but all of the hymns following and all of the music and the liturgy, we will remain seated for the rest of the service. So just for the call to worship and the first hymn. So as you are comfortable and you are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Good people, why are you remaining here by the gates of the temple? At such a time as this, it would be better to be making your way to your homes.
We are followers of Jesus.
All the more reason to be on your way and not linger here where you could be questioned and perhaps held over. Do you not know that this man Jesus has been arrested?
Yes, we know. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, how wonderful was the procession through the gates of the city. As followers of Jesus, we had hoped that our master would preach his message to the peoples of mighty Jerusalem, as he had done in Tyre and Sidon. But now he has been brought here to be judged before Caiaphas and the elders. I fear that no good will come of all of this, that nothing will ever be the way it was again. Tell us, is it true that one of Jesus' disciples betrayed him and the others denied the rabbi?
Yes, that is so. Judas, one of the 12, has betrayed Jesus and aided the priests of the temple in his arrest. And the man called Peter followed the priests and the guards as they took Jesus away. As he was waiting there in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself by the fire, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." As he made his way to the porch, and a rooster crowed, and the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again.
But we have seen and listened to this man, Peter. He is a leader among Jesus' disciples, and a beloved friend and loyal follower. Peter would not do such a thing, for he has the strength of his faith.
The fear of being arrested and scourged can wither your faith and cool your loyalty. I can tell you that Peter's fear was very great, for later those who stood by him said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then I heard him curse and swear, saying, "I do not know this man of who you speak." Then a second time, the rooster crowed.
Alas, it is just as Jesus had foretold. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.
Thank you. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do you still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death."
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out with them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves. Judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." And this was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death that he would die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him."
It is my lot in life not to be held in high esteem. While I believe myself to be an honest man, a loyal and faithful husband, and a good and generous father, the common citizenry of my village of Jericho shun me as one who suffers from the plague. My friends number no more than the fingers I have on but one of my hands. When I go about my task of collecting and recording the taxes, I must walk about the village of Jericho, as well as the villages of Tarsus and Cyprus and Achelous, for they are all in my commission to levy taxes. And in all of the villages, the peoples will cross to the other side of the path to keep from having to look me in the face, or worse yet, to have to speak with me. I can be no more hated and despised by my Hebrew brethren than if I wore the tunic and the armor of a Roman soldier. I find no joy in my trade, but the taxes must be collected, and I must have money to buy what I cannot grow in garden or that my wife cannot trade for with her cheese and her cloth. I am not a rich man. Some would say that I have coins hidden away, coins that I have stolen from the taxes. To those who speak falsehoods about me, I say, I am a man of God. I am a good and honest man. Was it not in my house that the rabbi Jesus of Nazareth did share a meal with me and my family? Oh, yes, I am not deaf, for I did hear the mutterings of the self-righteous who spoke against Jesus, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Am I the only sinner in the village of Jericho? Where is the sin in giving half of my possessions to the poor and to the lame? Jesus said to me, why do these people chastise you so? I told him that I am a tax collector, and for that I am an outcast. Then Jesus asked, have you ever cheated anyone in the course of your commissions? And I said, I have cheated no one out of anything. If I have, I will pay back four times the amount. I truly believe that Jesus could see the truthfulness in my eyes and hear the honesty in my voice. For he turned to his disciples, saying, today salvation has come to this house, because this man also is a son of Abraham. At that moment, I was renewed and strengthened. What had only been sadness and despair became hope and joyfulness. I knew that the message of love and salvation that Jesus spoke of would cast aside the hatred and contempt that had been cast at me like heavy stones. When Jesus went from Jericho on to the village of Capernaum, on the shore of Lake Asaphides, I made the journey to hear him preach to the people. While I could not be sure, I believe with all my heart that when Jesus spoke, saying, the Son of Man comes to seek and to save the lost, that he was looking squarely at me. For that I could not keep hold of myself. I fell to my knees and I wept. And now this fine and decent man of faith has been arrested. Perhaps it is true that the goodness of love and compassion is no match for the power of evil and jealousy.
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether this man was a Galilean, and when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length But Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priest and the scribe stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither is Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was the man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in a city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time, he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for the insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to a place, what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what Scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justified, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It is the noblest of goals for a son to rise to such a prized and heralded position in his trade that his father can take pride in claiming his son as his own. I have been fortunate in that my bravery and my leadership have brought me such success that I now wear the red tunic and the golden cloak of a Roman centurion. Upon receiving my credential from the emperor and then my commission from the Senate, I was assigned to take command of the garrison in Caesarea on the plain of Sharon. Soon after my arrival, I was ordered to lead two legions to the city of Basra, having to cross Mount Carmel to support Herod's army that had suffered losses at the hands of a small rebel band of Hittites. It is well known, but seldom said, Herod's army is an army of men with the courage of children. It was in the city of Basra that I first saw this man, Jesus. He was speaking to a group of women at the public well. As I rode by him, I remember that I turned and looked at him, and he in turn looked at me full in the face, and he smiled at me. It was an uncommon thing for a Hebrew to show a pleasant face to a Roman centurion. As time passed, I was rewarded for my success in Caesarea and sent to the province of Judea. For this time, I was assigned to Jerusalem and to serve Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect. I had been ordered to take my army south to Hebron and into the wilderness that lies beyond. It was here that my servant became ill with the plague. All measures to heal him were in vain, and he was near death. I had heard that this man Jesus had performed many miracles, that he had healed the lame and cured the sick. I made my way to Capernaum, and finding him there, I pleaded with him to say a blessing that my servant might be saved. Jesus said to me, I will come and heal him. Knowing that this man was a man of God, I said to him, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But you are a holy man, a man of God, and you need only to speak a word, and my servant will be saved. With that, Jesus put his hand on my shoulder and said, I have not found such great faith in any man, not even in all of Israel. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. When I returned to my house, my servant had been healed. The way is dark for this man, Jesus, and his life will be taken from him to satisfy those who fear him, and his message of peace and charity will be no more. The prefect will appease the priests and the elders of the temple by giving them their sacrifice, and so to keep the crowds from violence. But I say to you and to all who are close by to hear, this man Jesus is a man of God, and I will take no part in his crucifixion, even if it means demerit in my rank or harm to my well-being. My sword and my courage may belong to the emperor, as my oath dictates. But for the salvation of my servant, my soul belongs to Jesus.
Thank you.
It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
Thank you.
Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, but had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Let us pray together. Christ Jesus, you hung upon a cross and died for us so that we might live for you. Your body was broken and your blood shed so that we might have healed and made whole. You were faithful unto death so that we might be faithful unto life. Your last commandment was that we might love one another, one family together, for every tribe and nation. A new creation united through your sacrifice, redeemed by your blood, healed by your love, united by your covenant of peace. In your death may we find life. Amen. Then Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last and gave up his spirit.
Amazing.
As this day comes to an end, so also does our service. The bleakest hour of the darkest day is upon us, and despair and sorrow are all around us. The light of the world has been extinguished. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed.
The light of purity and love has been driven from the sky by the evil and cowardice of the night. Gates of deliverance are now closed, and the passageway to salvation is now sealed. The Savior of mankind has been crucified at the hands of those who are consumed by hatred and jealousy. Once the gates of Jerusalem are chained to keep the purveyors of evil out of the city, now let the gates be chained to keep the evil done this day, imprisoned behind these walls, just as the dead are imprisoned in their tombs for all eternity.
Having said this, he breathed his last and gave up his spirit.